Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Oscar, to his credit, fought everybody. You didn't hear about him ducking this guy or that guy. He lost some fights to some elite fighters, but he fought everybody. And he's an important figure historically in the sport. Because he was, the way he looked, the way he was marketed as a crossover star, how many people loved him. I think I've told you the story of being in a taxi in Barcelona, and the guy had some little boxing gloves hanging from a hook, and my wife asked him, who are your favorite fighter? Oscar De La Hoya. In Barcelona, Spain. So he was a lightning presence in the game, and he fought some damn good fight. Maybe not the greatest of the greats, but he was a damn good fighter who put on entertaining fights.
Horns of the Mighty Tower of Power. Check them out. Brand new album, of course, on the Soul Side of Town, towerofpower.com. Emilio Castillo and the boys kicking asses. 1968. Yeah, they debuted at the San Mateo County Fair. Of course, the San Mateo County Fair no longer happened. That was sort of cool when the fair happened. You can go down to see all the entertainment, watch horse races, that kind of good stuff. And my aunt always won the cookie competition. So straight up, I miss Auntie Julie, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. We take it to the East Coast, folks, and bring in a Hall of Fame trainer. No doubt about that, Mr. Aaron Snow. Aaron, how's life treating? How's your mom?
Well, my mother's good, and I want to wish all the mothers out there Happy Mother's Day. Well-deserved. But I'm doing fine, Pedro.
Okay. How
are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How old is Mom now?
Mom is 94 years old, brother.
94.
And yeah, she still got it. She don't take no medicine or anything like that. And she still got a good mind, and she's still giving the Lord his praise and still doing the Lord's work, so she's doing fine.
Well, you are definitely a lucky young man. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk about, before I go talk about your career, as I want to go into that to an extent. Last night, Canelo Alvarez's performance against Billy Joe Saunders. After eight rounds, Saunders quit, and I thought it was rightful. I mean, I'm not for guys going out and taking a licking after they're already beaten. Once the fight's over, it's over in my mind. For those bloodthirsty fans that wanted him to go out there and get annihilated or get dropped or get really hurt, this is a human being, not just a fighter, okay? Bottom line is, what was your impression of it?
Well, he was hurt. Anytime you got a cracked orbit, it's a tremendous injury where, you know, that crack starts bringing blood down in the nose cavity. You have blood dripping back in the back of your mouth, man. And it's excruciating pain, man, that's second to none. So, you know, that right hand that Canelo Alvarez throws. And plus, you could see Canelo Alvarez been working on his craft. You can see his technique was better, his feet position on a southpaw, where he was able to throw punches the correct way, and you can tell because when they were landing, he was punching through his target.
Yeah, exactly, and punch through the target is what you want to do. Aaron Snow is our guest, Mr. Hall of Fame, no doubt about that. Hey, well, how do you feel about Mike Tyson doing this comeback thing with this exhibition? Do you think he should do more than one, or should they be really fighting, or what's your take on that?
Well, you know, in the past, fighters done exhibitions all the time, as you well know, Pedro. Jack Johnson, when he was 68, he did one in New York, would be his last and final one with Joe Burnett.
Wow.
For a fundraiser that he did for war bonds in the community and stuff like that. But Mike Tyson, to see him out just even at that age, still wanting to fight is good. His body don't look sloppy.
No.
It's a different story if a guy not training right, if he had a fat belly, or, you know, he's not working out, he's not trying to hone his skills at this stage of the game. I would say leave it alone. But, you know, his exhibition with Roy Jones, you know, at that age, he looks good physically, and he climbed in the ring, and he looks good. And don't forget, Roy Jones was an active fighter, even though he was getting beat from time to time.
No, hold.
He was active.
Hold on, Aaron. Roy Jones, he needed a bra that night. I mean, he had bigger tits than the girl I'm looking across from. I kid you not. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I just was blown away by that he showed up, you know, jiggly like that. I mean, he had a chance to make a statement. And now, of course, last night Roy was on DAZN doing his thing as far as the commentator is concerned. But Roy, I think, should leave boxing alone. Mike Tyson wants to fight Evander Holyfield, or Evander Holyfield wants to fight Mike Tyson. He's going to take on Kevin McBride. The last time I saw Tyson fighting in a ring, he was against Kevin McBride, and the Irishman beat him. And I felt really bad about that because, you know, I think I could have beat Kevin McBride. Sorry, but that's just the way I felt. He brought nothing to the dance but the fact he was big.
Well, you know, when you fail to prepare, you prepare for failure. You know, a lot of things that are going on in Mike Tyson's life at that time. He wasn't the same man. It looks like he's gotten his act and his head back together with his family, with Kiki. She's done a magnificent job with Mike to get him wholesome, mean. You know, this month is the month Mental Awareness Month for mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mike Tyson has his problems with mental health.
We all do.
Well, I'm an advocate of it because it runs in my family. My grandmother was had a nervous breakdown, was put in a mental institution.
Man.
And so we're advocates for that. And to see all the things and trials and tribulations that Mike Tyson has been through in his life of over 50-some years, and that he's still able at this stage of the game just to even put something together to do something like this and have his body looking the way that it looks talks about commitment and talks about, in the past, the type of heavyweight champion Mike Tyson would be. He's still got a chance because, you know, the last thing a fighter loses is his punch. You know, like George Foreman, the oldest heavyweight champion of the world, he showed that even though he was an older champion, is that the statement, the last thing that goes on a punch on a guy is his punch, and they may never lose that. And George Foreman proved that, and Mike Tyson will prove it. You could see at times he slowed up on Roy and stuff like that, but that's just to his credit that he's able to make adjustments like that in that real vicious killer instinct where all the time he just wanted to kill, and stop, and instead of putting his wheels and skills together of hitting and not getting hit. And I think at this stage of the game with Roy Jones, he showed that.
Aaron Snow is our guest, of course, the Hall of Fame trainer. And Aaron, I got to ask you, pound for pound, who is the best fighter in the world outside of Canelo Alvarez?
On this era?
Yeah, right now.
Right now, there's no doubt Canelo Alvarez is.
Yeah, but who's number two?
Of all time?
No, right now. Of who's number two?
Right now, I can say right now between... You know, we got to go with in between Fury and Anthony Joshua. You know, the heavyweight division, you know, them guys, they got some talent up there and with guys that can punch, guys that are winning and undefeated. So it don't go too far from them guys and that big fight over there that they're trying to put together, trying to make it happen. Boxing needs that.
Yeah,
when the heavyweight division is going well, you see a good fight with two big guys, with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. That's what the game needs, and they're right in line in that pound for pound list.
Okay.
Of the fighters that are active today.
You know, you talked about Roy, Mike taking a little easy on Roy there, and it was an exhibition. We tried to get Lionel Butler to do the, I forget, it was like one of the, yeah, we tried to get Lionel Butler to do one of the Rocky movies, I remember. And like he was killing these guys. I think he knocked out Stallone or something like that in the gym. So they got rid of him after one day.
Yeah, Lionel Butler is a character. He could punch, no question about that. But it was his other things in his life that troubled him where he couldn't really make a real run at that heavyweight championship of the world. It was just his personal life, his social life. He never could get that in order to make a real run at the title. But Mike Tyson, it seems that he has gotten all of that together, and hats off to him and his family. And he's still trying to show his kid that, dad, can do it. And that's a blessing, man, when at this stage of the game where you've been the youngest heavyweight champion of the world, you done had trials and tribulations in your life, and when you're knocked down, dragged out in the gutter, nobody thinks you can pull it together, and wow, God give you a brand new spark like the eyes of the phoenix. He rise and give you a brand new spark. And Mike Tyson got the brand new spark. Let's see how he can keep on going and keep on doing that. Now, you got to remember, Pedro, back when Mike Tyson was young, Custom Model had Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson spar together up there in the Catskill. And, years later, then they fought for, the championship with Lennox Lewis winning. So they're familiar with each other. They have a good, long, extensive background with each other. They know each other very well. And I want to see what Lennox Lewis can do without a great trainer like Emanuel Stewart in his corner, who had guided him, directed him through his career to that rise to greatness. And without that great trainer around that gave him a lot of insights and when to do this and when to do that, basically a person who would think and help him and guide him through that.
I really
for the heavyweight championship.
When you bring up Emmanuel on this show, you get me a little emotional. So let's not go there with Emmanuel. I miss him so much. I just do. Hey, so you said Mike Tyson's got the spark. He does have the spark. He's got some weed going on. Have you smoked any yet?
No, I don't get high on my own supply. Somebody told me, he said, I don't need it, and I don't know if he really does it.
Aaron, marijuana is getting a bad rap. Of all the drugs that are out there, the most benign of anything that's out there, and as far as, come on, you can't even judge it. I look at my friends that have drank and the friends that have smoked weed. Guess what? The guys that smoke weed still look good. The guys that drank don't.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that, but in sport and play, there's a stigma that's put on athletes that use sportsman-enhancing drugs
and smoke weed
and all that. Hey, look, if we're going to say certain things about certain things, betting's legal, and Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt about that Pete Rose was a credit to the game of baseball, and just for a gambling thing, and gambling's illegal. You can bet on sports anywhere around.
Yeah.
And the way that he played the game, always on that, an aggressive way to win, and to say other less than that, that Pete Rose was shading or doing something less than that is absolutely wrong. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Good point. I've had Pete Rose on this show. In fact, Don King introduced me to Pete Rose. Got to run. All the best to you, Aaron Snow. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, and happy Mother's Day to all the ladies out there.
The Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Aaron Snow, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
I used to love hot days. Anything that's bad for a pitcher, I liked.